Well, with the young adults on Monday, we've been considering the book of Daniel. And it's interesting, last Monday we were in Daniel chapter 6. I won't test you now, but that's quite a famous passage in the book of Daniel. The lions. And it's not just a children's story, is it? But a wonderful enactment, albeit a very real story and very personal to Daniel. Yet in all the hopelessness of being cast into a lion's den, remember what Daniel's name means. Does anyone remember what Daniel's name means? Testing you now. Right, young adults, speak up.
God is my judge.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you. You're still young. God will be my judge. You remember in that story that his enemies gathered around him, didn't they? And they plotted his destruction. They trapped Daniel. He's cast into darkness. A stone is rolled over the entrance of the lion's den. A seal is put on the entrance of the lion's den. It all seems over, doesn't it? Ring any bells? And then in the morning, he's alive. He's alive. God has judged and has pronounced life. And in Daniel 6, 21 and 22, you have this wonderful declaration from Daniel of praise to his God. And he says to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done nothing, no wrong before you. And then the lions that were armed for Daniel then destroy the enemies of God and his people. God is evidently preparing us or saying something, because Psalm 35 has similar themes. Did you notice in the reading? The structure of this psalm is three prayers. Okay? Three prayers. So let's delve in. The first prayer, verses 1 to 10, the idea of a God who fights for us. That's good news this evening. The divine warrior. It's something that David, the author of this psalm, was very familiar with, wasn't he? Had not God provided him victory over Goliath? The battle imagery in verses 1 to 3, if you've got it there in front of you, brings that valley to mind where David, with hardly any weapons, had to fight this giant. But the first word is interesting. Did you notice it? Plead, contend. This is legal language, okay? Don't worry, we're not going to go through it word by word. We will go quicker. But then, look how personal the end of verse 3 is. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. The king's joy is in the covenant Lord. And as believers here, if we're believers here tonight, we're not lone rangers, are we? Just like Daniel was not alone in that den. Just like David was not alone in that valley facing those leonine giants, if you like. As believers, we are not alone. And there are times when we need a reminder that we have a very strong warrior God who is on our side. But also, he speaks to us. Notice the language there. Say to my soul. Does anyone need that saying too tonight? I am your salvation. Yeah? We need a reminder, an assurance, the personal, subjective. That means it's not just the big truths. It means something, doesn't it? Did you notice in that hymn we sang? Tell me thou art what? Mine, O Saviour. Grant me an assurance clear banish all my dark misgivings, still my doubting, calm my fear. Think of that lion's den and how Daniel in the dark, God could have just shut the mouths of the lions without sending him company. God could have just done that, but there was presence there. There was communication there. There were assurances in that darkness. There was peace. And you see that here in this psalm. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. And the Lord Jesus, the psalm which this psalm points forward, prophesies almost to our Lord. He was ministered to in Gethsemane, wasn't he? When the lions were on the fringe, on the periphery of the garden, coming for him. Our Lord, do you remember? Think of John 15 and 16, where the Lord teaches his followers, they will hate me, and if they hate me, they will hate you. And you see that hatred I can't go through every verse in this psalm, but you see it there, the plotting of his hurt. But this psalm encourages us not only to realize that we're not alone, but there is vindication and deliverance in Christ too. Like the Lord Jesus, David will later pray for his enemies in verses 13 and 14, but at this point he must pray against them. Listen to St. Augustine here. There are two kinds of people whom these verses describe, because there are two ways of being overcome. Either they are overcome in order to be converted to Christ, or they are overcome to be condemned by Christ. Do you understand that? These enemies here, I'm using the lion's den because I've been in it all week. When Darius puts Daniel in that den, didn't he? And the other people who were plotting against him. But you notice in the morning, Darius rushes to the entrance of the cave. I think he eventually turns and believes in Daniel's God. But the second group are destroyed. Where do you stand tonight? Are you on your own when the lions come? We've got to face death. We've got the problem of our sin. Do you have company in the lion's den? Can you say with the psalmist here that God has said to you, I am your salvation? And then he says, let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Back in the time of the Exodus, if you look at verses 5 and 6, you see the mention of the angel of the Lord. Again, a dual aspect. The same God who brought them out of Egypt, who brought them out of the dark, is also the one who brings judgment, isn't it? Jesus is Savior tonight, but he will also be a judge. But by verses 9 and 10, there is joy, isn't there? Look at it there. My soul shall be joyful in the covenant name there, the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Listen to this quote. What God does for his Messiah, okay, he now does through his Messiah for all who come to him for salvation. For his Messiah is the strong man who can take the captive from the devil's grasp. So think of Daniel again, in the darkness of that hole, yeah? And he is delivered, almost like a type of Christ, but it's more than that. If we're in Christ tonight, we too shall be delivered. And that's very encouraging, isn't it? We too will live, but only if we're trusting in Christ, united to him. The lions of your sin, they're growling at you. The lions of your guilt, the lions of death are closing in. And this psalm even uses the image of lions. Did you notice it there? Can anyone see where it comes? Just to make sure you're still awake. Verse 16, they gnashed their teeth at me. There's a leonine there, but there's even more. Anyone else? Verse 17, my precious life from the lions. Are you alone tonight? Or are you in Christ tonight? Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. But the second prayer, verses 11 to 18, we find the psalmist does something extraordinary now. He prays for his enemies. When was the last time we did that? For his persecutors. Look at the language in verse 13. I, when they were sick, sackcloth was my clothing. I afflicted myself with fasting. My prayer would come back to me. I went round as for a friend. The language there is someone who's pacing back and forward in a room. He's concerned, you know, for the people who are his enemies. Like mourning for a mother, I bow down in mourning. This is a man who has concern for his enemies. Powerful stuff. He's a good king, David, isn't he? Who can be closer than a mother? But do you see the greater David here? Or is it just me? Bow down in mourning. In the dark. On that hill brought low. Is he thinking of himself? He prays for his enemies. We have a king tonight, friends, who died for us when we were enemies. Have you realized that? When we were sinners, when we were rebels. Turn to Romans 5, verse 6 and 10. Romans 5, verse 6 to 10. This is important. For when we were still without strength, it's the language of Psalm 35. There's the weakness. In due time, Christ died. Thank God for this, yeah? Have you ever put, these are so familiar, we can get over familiar with them. Christ died for the ungodly. Not for the perfect people. Not for the people who have got their theology set all right. Christ died for sinners like me, like you. Amen. Amen. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But you need to be reminded of this tonight, friends. God demonstrates his own love towards us. It's powerful, this. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. More than merely closing the lions' mouths that are about to go for us, we see our king facing those lions in our place. Do you see it there? The language is very powerful. And yet, look at how his enemies respond in verse 15. But in my adversity, they rejoiced. The one who loves, the one who does good, remarkable love, extraordinary good, is repaid by evil, by those whom he loves. And that is the lot of a Christian, my friends. Don't expect a cushy number. If they hated him, if they killed him, then we too will suffer. But then look at the language as the prayer goes on. Lord, look at verse 17. This is a beautiful prayer now. Lord, how long? How long, O Lord? You know, that's a cry of faith. it should encourage us, you know, just like Daniel was in that den, just for a few hours. Our Lord was in the ground for a set time, wasn't he, in that tomb. And those of us who are in Christ tonight, we might be persecuted. We may be circulated by lions. And we can pray this prayer as those who are in Christ. How long, O Lord? Look at the land. Look at our land. We can pray, how long, O Lord, tonight in this place, will you look on and do nothing? We could be reverently. Is it not time for him to deliver us? Is it not time for our God to work a great work by his Holy Spirit? Or have we got so used to the dark that we don't believe it anymore? I'm preaching to myself. Do you know this hymn? Breathe on us. What comes next? Breath of God. That's life, you know. God equals life. Fill us with life anew. And that's a prayer we can pray for ourselves tonight, isn't it? And for our land. O Holy Spirit, breathe life again. Just like he breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. We can pray, baptize us with fire and power and love. And then you see verse 18 can come to be in a little way already. Look at it there. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. People say to us, oh, you shouldn't worry about numbers. But the Bible is concerned about numbers, isn't it? The gathering looks to its king in verse 18. And the king leads the worship, as it were. And in times of revival, we have little tasters of this remarkable gathering that will be at the end of time from all nations. So can you pray tonight? Not just a shopping list. I have a yearning for that land. Listen to what Panta Kellen says next. Where the unnumbered throng. Isn't that wonderful? And what are they doing? Extolling the death of Calvary in heaven's unending song. But there's a third prayer. Verses 19 to 26. The final prayer prays against the victory of those who hate the king and his people. Look at verse 23 and 24. Stir up yourself. It's very bold, isn't it? Speaking to God like this. Stir up yourself and awake to my vindication, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me. And then he brings in a different Lord there. That's the covenant name. O Lord, it's the same person, but he's using a different name. My God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. The covenant language is richer. The language of I will be your God and you will be my people. Notice the use of the pronouns. My. His hope, notice, is the Lord's righteousness, not my own. There is covenant faithfulness here. There is steadfast love here, which comes from God. And then in verse 25, sorry, I know I'm rushing through. I've got a lot to say. It's very exciting. Look at the language. We have swallowed him up. And that's what darkness seeks to do, is to swallow life up. And then we think of Calvary, don't we? If the anointed one had been swallowed up in death, then there would be no hope tonight, would there? But what do we know from 1 Corinthians? It wasn't the anointed one that was swallowed up, was it? Death is swallowed up. And yet verse 27 then gives us that Darius moment, if you like. The joy. What is the joy based on? Look at verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause.
Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.
When Darius came to the mouth of that cave, why was he happy? Because Daniel had been vindicated. He had done nothing wrong in that sense. The public vindication of God's servants and the failure of his enemies brought delight to Darius. When was the last time that you stood at the tomb, if you like? And what was the message that changed the world? It wasn't just copy Jesus and try your best. The message that changed the world was that Jesus of Nazareth died. And what? And on the third day, he was risen. He was vindicated, a public vindication of God's servants and the failure of his enemies. That's why Paul uses that wonderful language of dragging the enemies in chains behind the conqueror. How much does it thrill you still that Jesus is risen from the dead? Or are you more concerned that I haven't gone through each line of this psalm? I know, I'm sorry about that, but I can't help it. It should thrill us that Jesus is risen tonight. And that means something. That gives us hope. This is not just a social gathering. We serve a living Saviour. And he's your Saviour tonight. I don't know you all. I don't know where you stand. I don't know if your soul is ready to die. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, didn't he? He came into the dark. He is the only hope tonight. He said, didn't he, I am the way, the truth. Does he finish there?
And the life.
Amen. Yeah, and the life. So this psalm, we've been on a bit of a tour. But as we meditate on the unfairness, if you like, of the treatment of God's servant, may we never forget that it was for sinners that Christ died. We can be glad this evening that our God is the living God, the one who resurrects, not just the Lord Jesus Christ, but many of us were once dead, weren't we? But now we're alive, and he can do it again and again. And again, may we pray for souls tonight. We can be glad this evening that God is a resurrection God. And yes, we will be victims of hatred, mockery, even violence, like the speaker of this psalm was. And yet, since we are following Jesus, we can pray for our enemies. We can pray to our Lord for blessing, for life, for vindication, for power. Like Wynne has been stressing in his doctrine series, for power and for victory. Amen.